Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to come out to Rancho Cucamonga on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We meet at the Cucamonga Community Center. We have a wonderful worship team, and it'll be a great experience. But if you can't travel, email me, and we will help you find a local church. The other thing I want to say is a member of our church bought a box of Bibles the other day, and he's just giving them away. If you'd like to have a Bible, you don't have a Bible, email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com, and I will get a Bible to you so you can have God's Word in your hand. Have you ever wondered what the response to the resurrection was like for those in Jerusalem? There were millions of people who had traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. What happened when they returned home and the news about Jesus spread around the world? I wondered what the people were saying. It's kind of a long story, but a short story is that Jesus was crucified on Friday. He was dead. They had to hurry up and bury him before sundown to start the Sabbath. Joseph of Arimathea gave up his tomb and buried Jesus' body. And on Sunday, the tomb was empty. Empty, like no Jesus inside. And over 500 people say they have seen Jesus and even talked with him. That was probably the story. They repeated the story over and over and over again to their friends, to their family, to whoever would listen. He was crucified. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. I don't know how they told the story, but 500 people saw Jesus and talked with him. Imagine the game of telephone tag or how crazy some of the text messages were that day or during that week. Lent and Easter are a time when we celebrate, but Pentecost is just ahead. And over the next few weeks, we're going to study the stories of people who saw Jesus after he rose. And I'm going to move from preaching to meddling right away. And I'm hoping that one of you will write me and share with me. You can write me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship and share with me your own resurrection response. That's my challenge during this series is, what does the resurrection of Jesus from the dead mean to you? Let me say it again. Maybe you need to stop and think about it. Maybe you haven't thought about it in a while. What does the resurrection of Jesus from the dead mean to you? Do you know that there were at least five resurrection appearances of our Lord on the first day of that week? Mary Magdalene in John 20, verses 11 through 18, and the other women in Matthew 28, 9 through 10, Peter, 1 Corinthians 15, 5, and Luke 24, 34, the Emmaus disciples, the two Emmaus disciples Luke records in Luke 24, 13 through 32, and the disciples minus Thomas in John 20, 19 through 25. If you have your Bible and you're listening along, if you need a Bible, I'll mail you one. But if you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, 19 through 31. That's where we're going to spend our time today, John 20, 19 through 31. Before we read the Word, let us pray. Lord God, you're more ready to hear than we are to pray, and we ask for a resurrection appearance today. May Jesus come and live among us. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear the good news of the resurrection. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 20, 19 through 31. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." Aramaic, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Shalom Aleichem. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 23. "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Maybe we're like that. I'm going to digress for just a minute before we go to verse 26. Maybe we're like that. We have to see to believe. That's where Thomas was. Can you imagine? Just enter into the story for a minute. Jesus appears that first night, and he appears to all of them except for Thomas, and then that whole next week, all of them are saying, "We have seen the Lord, we have seen the Lord, we have seen the Lord, believe it." And he says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, we're at verse 26 of chapter 20 in John. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you. Shalom Aleichem." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Boy, I think if Jesus said that to us, or if maybe really just seeing Jesus, we would believe. But Jesus is saying, stop doubting and believe. Verse 28, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I wish I had more time to take this passage apart and look at all the original writings and dig into the meaning of what is being said here. One of the questions that comes to me when I read this account of the resurrection of Jesus is, when have I been afraid? When have I been afraid? Better yet, when have you been afraid? Maybe you're afraid right now. What causes you to be afraid? We are told here that the disciples were locked in the upper room with fear. Listen, I don't know you. I don't know why you're listening. I hope you continue to listen, but I don't know what's locking you in your room with fear right now. Have you ever been locked in a room of fear, listening for every sound? Is that someone coming up the stairs? What was that sound? What are those lights? Was that the sound of someone knocking at the door? When my wife was a teenager, she was babysitting, and the kids were afraid to go to bed saying that someone was in their room. My wife went to show them that there was nothing to be afraid of. She reached around the wall to turn on the light to show the kids that there was no one in the room except one of the children had put their stuffed Easter bunny on top of the end table. And when my wife reached around to turn the light on, she felt the fur, which was in her mind like hair. And she said, "Someone's in there, crouch down." She screamed and the kids screamed and they all ran into the master bedroom and locked the door. They waited in there together until their mom and dad got home that night. Fear. Maybe you can identify with just that little story. Fear. That's what I'm talking about today. Have you ever been locked inside of a room and you're afraid? Maybe Just maybe you're locked inside of your life right now and you're afraid. Maybe you're locked in your office or your car listening and you're afraid. That is what is going on here in this story. Except Jesus came and he stood among them inside the locked room. He shows up even in the midst of a locked room. What was it that Jesus said? He said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." When I grew up in the Midwest, and when I lived back in the Midwest, I spent many times locked inside a room with fear, tornadoes. Now I live out here in California, and I think, I don't even know when an earthquake's going to hit, but I can tell you, if you've ever lived in an area where tornadoes come, you hear them. It's like a freight train, and you run to the basement, or you run to a locked room and you lock the door as the wind is shaking your house. At least once or twice a year, you'll find yourself locked in your bathroom, a closet, a basement, while that storm rages. You're filled with fear. Having Jesus enter into that room saying, "Peace, shalom," was like hearing the all-clear siren announcing that the tornado has passed. I know maybe out here, you're listening out here and you don't know what a tornado is, but the siren sound, you go in, you lock down, and then the siren sound, and you're set free again from that locked room of fear. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga. This is Pastor Dave, and we're talking about John chapter 20, where the disciples are locked in their room for fear. And one of my so what questions are you afraid? When have you been locked in your room for fear? Fear. Jesus took everyone in that upper room from fear, and he brought them to faith. Everyone, that is, except for Thomas. For whatever reason, Thomas wasn't in the upper room that night. Thomas, the disciple, was anything but afraid. Early in the Gospel of John, Thomas is the one who announces that he's willing to go and die with Jesus. Thomas had seen all the healings and miracles. Thomas was there when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb. Thomas was there at the Last Supper. Thomas was there in the garden when Judas betrayed him. He knew the Jews had crucified Jesus and that Jesus was dead. Can you enter into Thomas's sandals for a minute? He is not in the upper room the first night that Jesus appears. Maybe he's out getting something for the meal. Maybe he wanted to be alone and grieve by himself. Have you ever isolated yourself when you're struggling? Thomas may have just needed to get away. For whatever reason, Thomas misses the first appearance of the Lord to the disciples. Do you know that Thomas had two names? One is Thomas, and it is Aramaic. His other name is Didymus, and that is the Greek word for Thomas, or the Greek word for twin. Both Thomas and Didymus mean the same thing, twin. Thomas must have had a twin. There has been a lot of studying by various scholars about Thomas's twin, and as I've studied this past week, I read that this is one commentator said he knew who Thomas's twin was. It was him. Because he too is a doubter, just like Thomas. He too was afraid, just like Thomas. Ah, so you and I could also be Thomas's twin when we too doubt or are afraid. In a cellar in Cologne, Germany, after World War II, were found these words written on the wall. "I believe," in bold letters. "I believe. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I feel it not. I believe in God, even when he is silent." Those words, those sentences and those words were written in a basement in Germany after World War II, or during World War II, and they were found after World War II. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. I believe in God, even when he is silent. Billy Graham, he wrote in one of his books, he had a quote. In August, this is a quote from Billy Graham's book. In August of 1949, I was so filled with doubts about everything that when I stood to preach and made a statement, I would say to myself, I wonder if that is the truth. Can you imagine? Billy Graham, one of the greatest of all preachers and teachers. This is what he wrote. In August of 49, I was so filled with doubts about everything that when I stood to preach and made a statement, I would say to myself, I wonder if that's the truth. I wonder if I can really say that sincerely. My ministry had gone, and then I took up the Bible into the hot Sierra Nevada mountains here in California. I opened it and got on my knees, and I cried out, Father, I cannot understand many things in this book. I cannot come intellectually all the way, but I accept it by faith to be authoritative, the inspired word of the living God. In August of 49, Billy Graham had an experience with his doubts and fears, and he came to this conclusion, I cannot understand many things in this book. I cannot come intellectually all the way, but I accept it by faith to be authoritative, the inspired word of the living God. I love this resurrection response. Everyone is locked in the room. I think that's where we are sometimes. We're locked in rooms. It says everyone was locked in the room. They were filled with fear. Won't be long before the authorities realize they were with Jesus. We are goners. They will be here soon. I'm sure that's what they're saying in that room. And what no one could have predicted, Jesus came and he stood among them. It doesn't say Jesus rang the doorbell. It doesn't say Jesus knocked on the door. Jesus came and stood among them. The risen Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. I am sure that everyone who was locked in the upper room was flooded with peace. Everyone but Thomas, who for whatever reason wasn't there. And when Thomas returns and hears that everyone but him saw Jesus, he doubles down and declares, No way, Jose. That's my word. That's my translation. No way, Jose, unless I put my fingers in his risen nail holes, I'll never believe this crazy story. I think we are that way. I run into people all the time when I talk to them about Jesus, and they think that I'm, I think sometimes they think I'm crazy trying to tell them a story that there was a man who lived, who died, who rose again, and wants to give them peace. That's a pretty simple story, isn't it? But it's so hard to believe. I think a lot of us are like Thomas. We live in doubt and fear. I'm sure that we're all like Thomas at times. I'm sure we all have times of doubt and unbelief. We don't want to hear some crazy story about how we missed out on the most important thing in history. No, show me the evidence. I want to see the evidence. Have you ever said it that anything remotely close to that? When you say, I want to see the evidence, then I'll believe. A week later, Thomas is there when Jesus walks into the room, and he says, Peace be with you. And then Jesus walks over to Thomas, and he says, Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus wants to take us from our unbelief and bring us to belief. I find great comfort that the greatest preacher the world has ever heard, Billy Graham, had doubt. I also find great comfort that the remedy for doubt is getting on your knees and opening up the scriptures. Now we close with Thomas's resurrection response. Thomas says, My Lord and my God. The personal pronouns of my in front of Lord and God declare Thomas's authentic faith. Even during Thomas's doubts and fears, Jesus meets Thomas right where he is. When my wife was in college, she took a class called The Philosophy of Religion, and the professor was not a Christian, and he tried throughout the semester to establish the fact that to be a Christian, you'd be a fool. At the end of the semester, he tried one last time to make fun of those who believe. He asked the class if anyone had seen Jesus. He declared that Jesus was a hoax. He was not real. He was fake. His logic was that since no one had seen Jesus, he did not exist. Most of the students in the class were young teenagers. My wife had returned to school in her 40s, and every day after her philosophy class, she drove over to the church that I was pastoring, and there was another pastor there, and we would gird her up with how to have a philosophical debate about this issue with her professor. And after a few moments of awkward silence on the final day of class, my wife raised her hand and told the professor that she knew Christ personally. The professor laughed and mocked her and said that she didn't look 2,000 years old. My wife then used the same logic that the professor had used to condemn Christianity to proclaim the risen Christ. My wife told the professor, "I know Jesus Christ personally. He is real. He is not a hoax. He does exist. I know him personally." Just yesterday, I sent a text to some friends, and I included a Thomas reply in John 20, and Jesus replied to Thomas. Let's look at it again. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." In that text I wrote, "So what does the resurrection mean to you? Do you believe?" I'll text you, you can, or I'll email you, just email me what the resurrection means to you. Thomas got the words from Jesus, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet believed." I received several replies to my text that I sent out, and one man said, "An assurance, hope, life everlasting, absolutely believe. As a matter of fact, I've had a personal encounter with the living Christ." That's my prayer for you. That's why I do what I do. My prayer is that you will have a personal encounter with Christ. Another person wrote, "Without the resurrection, we do not have anything to believe in. Without the resurrection, all Jesus would be is another human being born of sinful flesh who walked the earth for a few years and died. But because he's risen, there is proof that he is the Messiah, our Savior, the King of Kings, who sits at God's right hand. Do I believe? Just look at me." Your so what for this week is to think about sharing your resurrection response with me, Pastor Dave, or with people you come in contact with. I'm not asking for your entire life story, but there is a time, like Thomas, when you said, "My Lord and my God," because you knew that you knew that you knew that Jesus Christ was real. Let us pray. Father God, we are an Easter people who believe in the power and the hope of the resurrection. The empty tomb of Jesus has changed us. Be with us as we go on our way this next week, and bring us back together so that we can hear your words and know that we can share our resurrection responses. Help us to stop doubting and believe. Amen. I want to encourage you that it's never too late to share your resurrection response. It's never too late to share your hope. And it's my prayer that you would know, that you would know, that you would know that God loves you. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.